My dear friends, in Jesus' grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior, who identifies with us by joining us in the flesh and by being baptized as our Redeemer and Savior. The word of God from the Old Testament reading today, some of my favorite words from Scripture, is just beautiful words of comfort and assurance. As God says to His people of old Israel and to us, "But now, says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." This is God's Word. Please be seated. All right, so how many of you reading the sermon title today understand what it says? Some of you. How many of you even read the sermon title yet? How many of you are just settling in right now to read your bulletin? All right. The words, "Du bist mein," just mean, "You are mine." It's the German translation of Isaiah 43, verse 1. "Ich habe dich bei deinem Namen gerufen." I have called you by name. "Du bist mein." You are mine. Now, for those of you who are parents, hopefully you've had some of those moments in your life when you feel particularly proud of your children. Your son or daughter's name is called and they come forward to receive some special honor, like an academic award or perhaps a sports letter or maybe a diploma with honors. And in those moments, it's hard to contain your parental pride, because by God's grace, you have been permitted to play a role in creating this person and forming this person and making your son or daughter into who and what she or he is. And you just want to stand up in front of the world in those moments and say, "Sie ist mein, she's mine," or "Er ist mein, he's mine." Du bist mein. You are mine. But then again, it doesn't always go like that, does it? Sometimes it goes the other way. You know those proud bumper stickers that boast, "My child is an honor student"? Have you ever seen the other version of it that says, "My child would be an honor student if he tried harder"? Of course, you would never put that on your bumper, would you? At least I wouldn't. Maybe you would. I don't know. And yet, let's face it, for some children, it's just true. And sometimes it's a little harder for a parent to be proud of a child who's not doing their best, trying their hardest, or perhaps worse, who has taken a turn to the dark side of sin and rebellion against everything that you stand for and believe in. If you're a parent who has been in that situation, then you have a tremendous insight into today's Old Testament reading and an appreciation of what God is really saying here. Because when He says to Israel, "Du bist mine," you are mine, believe me, those words do not come out of a sense of fatherly pride over a son who is just an exceptional human being. He says, "Du bist mein," to a rebellious son, a son who has caused him nothing but heartache, who has despised him and spit in his face, who has taken his good gifts and squandered them and misused them. Israel has been the kind of son of whom many a human father would say, "Er ist nicht mein Sohn." He's not my son. But it's precisely here that we see a picture of the incredible graciousness of God. Despite Israel's disloyal and defiant ways, the Lord nevertheless says, "Du bist mein." And I have to say, in one way, those words convict me. They make me feel terribly guilty, because I know that as a father, I have not always been that gracious with my children. And yet, as parents, we also need to remember that the graciousness of God in saying, "Du bist mein," to such rebellious children, did not stop him from also disciplining those children with some very tough love and some very harsh words. Israel's rebelliousness ultimately landed them in exile in Babylon, far from their homeland, in captivity. But not because the Father ever stopped loving them, but precisely the opposite, because He loved them. Sometimes saying to your child, "Du bist mein," means that you've got to do what you've got to do to straighten that child out, as difficult as it may be. And the Heavenly Father is no different. In the letter to the Hebrews, He says, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastises every son that He receives." But even so, the grace of God in these words, the words of a wounded father to his rebellious son, is just beyond amazing. Was love ever this deep or this broad or this high? The son had slapped his father in the face, had said in effect, "I have no respect for you. I don't want anything to do with you, except of course I'll take what you have to give me. But otherwise I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to honor you or obey you." And yet the Father says in reply, "Nevertheless, du bist mein." And there is a trinity of actions that God has taken toward us in this Bible verse that reveals to us why He feels this way about us. First of all, He says, "Well, I made you. Du bist mein, because I created you. You are the crowning glory of my creation. You were fashioned in my own image, and you are animated with my own breath. I am a part of you. Du bist mein." But it's not just that. The Lord also says, "I have formed you. Du bist mein, because I have formed you." Because not everything went very well in the Garden of Eden, God has ever since been trying to reform us into what He wants us to be, into what we were supposed to be, created to be. And that reforming process begins with laws, His expectations of us. Not that He ever believed that He could reform us simply by giving us commandments and regulations. Our Father in heaven is a realist. He knows the reality of our sinful, broken nature, that the first reaction we have to hearing or seeing a law is to break that law. And it's been happening ever since we were the littlest of babies. We hear a law and we want to break it. Come on, admit it, right? 65 miles per hour to you means 73, 74 miles per hour. As much as I can possibly do without getting caught. Reforming us by laws is hopeless. How many laws do we have on the books already? And yet have we been reformed? No. Not yet. The purpose of the law is not to reform us. It's to crush us. It is to break us down. It is to shatter our pride. It is to drive us to the realization that we are way beyond self-reformation. Only God, who made us in the first place, can have any chance at remaking us. And that realization is the first critical step to you being formed into something new and better, a new creation, as Paul talked about in the epistle reading today. And that brings us to the third action of God toward us. "I have redeemed you. Du bist mein, because I bought you out of your slavery. I paid the price for your sin to redeem you out of your captivity, your exile to death and sin and hell." He bought you at a price that is unimaginable. When loving the whole world, He gave His only begotten Son. And so St. Peter says, you were ransomed from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. And there is love that has the power to change us, to recreate and refashion us into new creations. A love so great that it melts our stone-cold rebellious hearts. A love so great that it sparks the faith that lays hold of His saving promises. A love so great that it sets in motion changes, real changes in our lives, in the way we talk, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we think about things. Changes that we never, ever could have achieved on our own. And all of this is by Christ, who stood there in the waters of baptism when the Father said, "This is My Son, with whom I am well pleased." Can you hear the voice of the Father bragging on His Son? "I am so pleased with My Son that I will be pleased also with everyone who is baptized into Him and who believes His gospel." And then, "Du bist mein." Can you now hear the Father bragging on you? "You're mine again. Restored to me by the forgiveness of your sins, I call you now by name, and you need never fear anything again." Oh, not that you won't have some problems in your life. You most certainly will, because problems and trials are part of how I shape you and mold you and recreate you, as difficult as that is sometimes. But when you feel like you're passing through waters that are threatening to sweep you away, I will be there with you. When rivers of trouble are swirling up around you, I will not let them overwhelm you. And when you pass through the fiery trials, I will not let you be burned. Because I am the Lord, your God, and I am your Savior. I formed you. I created you. And most of all, I redeemed you. Can you imagine how comforting these words must have been the first time that the children of Israel read them as they sat in captivity in Babylon, thinking that God didn't care about them anymore, and by all rights, He shouldn't have cared anymore. And yet, though they had despised their father, He loved them. And He said to them, as He says to us, "Du bist mein." To the praise of His grace. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.